Well, hello there once again. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. Now, we are doing a series talking about why God lets you suffer. This is the second part of this series. I believe we'll try to finish up today. If not, we'll go one more. But in this series, we're looking at primarily 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11, and focusing again on the question, why does God allow his people to suffer? In our first message, we covered 10 of God's good purposes, and let me go through those very quickly. And you can go back and we can send you a PDF. You can email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. But for now, let's look at what we've seen already. Why does God let you suffer? One, to reveal his compassion. In your misery, God manifests himself in an intimate way as the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, like we saw in verse 3. Secondly, to mold your ministry. God allows difficulties in your life so that you can learn to help others through the difficulties in their life. Third, to prove your faith. God tests you with a trial, and yet your faith doesn't die. And that proves your salvation to you. I'm doing some writing here. Still, again, I'm working through these things. But you know, you go through something. That's evidence of God's work at you because you endure. And an enduring faith is a saving faith. He that endures to the end will be saved. So, to reveal his compassion, to mold your ministry, to prove your faith. Fourth, to focus your hope. God uses suffering to magnify your experience and focus your hope on God and the glories of eternity. Nothing gets you thinking about life and life in eternity rather than death. It's just the way that it is. Number five here, to loosen your grip. God uses lack and limits and loss to break your attachment to and your confidence in earthly resources and worldly things. Again, you can find all these and you can look at the video, the previous video, and we can send you a PDF, all of that. Next, to reveal your heart. God brings pain to show you what you love most. Will you find joy in God or look elsewhere and question his goodness? That happens a lot, especially in times like these. Number seven, to teach you obedience. God uses the effects of sin to discipline the sin out of you. That includes the consequences of your own sin and also the sins done to you by others. Next, to build your character. The more you are tested and refined by troubles, the more proven, mature, and useful you become. Then to demonstrate your witness, so important. But when you follow Jesus despite problems, it stirs up other believers and it shows the world his worth to you. It shows people this thing is real and real to you. And lastly, from last time, to satisfy your soul. Wow, how could Paul say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? Well, affliction makes you a gift from God, a living sacrifice like he asks us to do in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Gratified with God more than other comforts. If you can understand these things, you will stop looking to other comforts. Suffering is a way to either you're going to go towards sin or towards God. Now, let's discover more of God's good purposes as we examine 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 11. Let me go ahead and read that passage. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Well, let's pray. Father, as we've been studying this, it has stirred my soul. I pray that it stirs others, that the Holy Spirit within us would stir us up to love and good works and encouraging one another, even as the day draws near. All right, so let's think about seven more good purposes of why God lets you suffer. The first one we see in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9, to keep you humble. No, he says, again, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we'd received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Rely not on ourselves. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, that's pretty clear, right? Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So here we go again. Why does God let you suffer? To bring you to the end of yourself and your pride, so that you'll know you have to look elsewhere. To keep you humble. Also, related to that, to develop your dependence. Again, 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we'll focus on different words. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. And let's go back to 2 Corinthians 12 again. But he said to me, verse 9 and 10, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why does God let you suffer? To make sure that you can't depend on you, so that you'll depend on Him. Dependence on God is more important than strength, to keep you humble, to make you dependent. Next, to reveal His power. Once again, 2 Corinthians 1:9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Let me go back into the Old Testament and read some of the story of Gideon. That's Judges 6 and 7 we're looking at. First 14 through 16 in chapter 6, then verses 2 and 7 in chapter 7 to get a kind of a feel for it. And the Lord turned to him, Gideon, and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And Gideon said back to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. And you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, J.D., how can you stop? Can't you stop touching your face? Anyway, the people with you are too many for me to give to the Midianites in their hand. They were already way outnumbered. But he said, they're too many, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. And verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, with these 300 men, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. So this was going to be 300 against 135,000. You read that in Judges 8:10. It was impossible odds. Impossible odds. Again, why does God let you suffer? To reveal His power. I'm sure you know this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So why does God let you suffer? God allows you to be vulnerable. Think about a jar of clay, vulnerable, many times broken. You're broken up, you're broken down, you're broken open. And God allows you to be vulnerable so that you can know and others can see where your true strength lies. It's the ultimate power of God that you must trust in. There's more here. It gets better and better. Next, to display His deliverance. 2 Corinthians 1:10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. Think about the three young men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. From Daniel 3:16-18, hear this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. They knew they would be delivered one way or the other, by death, through life, as it happened, or even if it didn't happen that way. They were in a trial. They were being persecuted. This was definitely suffering. And this was a fiery trial for real. I mean, fully. But God wanted to display His deliverance. 2 Timothy 4:17 and 18. Now remember, Paul was writing about this in 2 Corinthians, life-threatening trial, a deadly peril, he calls it, beyond our strength. And he was wondering what was going on until he learned a lesson. But in 2 Timothy here, this is the last book he wrote, we believe, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 17 and 18. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He said that knowing that he was going to die. He's going to rescue me from every evil deed, yet he was about to get his head cut off. Now, by the time, again, he wrote 2 Timothy, Paul realized that his time on earth was done. Just look a little earlier in the passage, 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, you know, he says, I've finished the race, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, and he was right. But with that episode here in 2 Corinthians, he was still thinking he had work to do, and he felt like, well, it's just going to have to go left off, I've received the sentence of death. Until he realized why God was allowing this depth of despair. It was so that he had nothing left to cling to but God alone. Only then would his example be made complete. So why does God let you suffer? Because he wants you to understand his deliverance and for other people to see his deliverance, even when that means it's you trusting him in death. This is past, present, and future. You see that in verse 10. He has, he will, he is. We know that God had brought Paul through all sorts of trials and troubles. He talks about them in chapter 11, and you see it all through the book of Acts and his epistles. And God delivered him through whatever this particular life-threatening situation was that he's talking to the Corinthians about in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 11. And he says, we were utterly burdened beyond our strength, but God brought him out of that. He thought he was going to die. He was ready to die. He had lost the will to live, actually. But God let him suffer that for him to learn the lesson that we all need to learn. Hear this. God will bring you, he'll bring me, through every situation until it's time to take me home to his heavenly kingdom. And even then, death is a deliverance in that sense. Wow. Now here's one as a pastor that really is important to me. Why does God let you suffer? To involve other believers. Look at verse 11 in 2 Corinthians 1. You must also help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Let's hear something again in Romans 15, verse 30 through 32. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. A lot to pray for there. Paul was suffering all sorts of things. And he needed the other believers to become involved. Why does God let you suffer? To involve other believers. Hear it in Hebrews 13. I'm going to read verse 3 and then verse 18 and 19. And you'll see why. Remember those who were in prison as those who were in prison with them and those who were mistreated since you were also in the body. That's the context of verse 18 and 19, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring honorably to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this, in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now think about that. Why does God let you suffer? Because within the context of your suffering, the community of faith is molded together in common purpose. Think about this. Romans 12:15 tells you to weep with those who weep. But others can only weep with you if you allow them to walk with you as you suffer. Two more. Why does God let you suffer? To increase your intimacy. David was writing in Psalm 23, 4 and 5, and he talks about all these wonderful things, and then he skips or sort of changes direction, but still shows knowing God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and their staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Philippians 3:10, Paul says that I may know him and may share the fellowship of his sufferings. Why does God let you suffer? Because to know God as you walk in and through pain is a transcendent experience meant to transform your life and vision. The reason Paul could talk this way, the reason David could talk this way, is because they had been to the bottom of the well and found God there. That transcendent experience, you transcend suffering, you still suffer. But it transformed your life and the way you look at it. And all these things, all these other 15 things so far, and this one, it's increasing your intimacy. And finally, all of these things really are hinging on this last one. Why does God let you suffer? To form His image. To form His image, what do you mean? To make you more like Jesus. Again, I'm going to read a context verse and then show you these other verses in that context. Romans 8:18, the colossal Romans 8. Romans 8:18, then verses 28 and 29. And we all know verse 28, and we should know verse 29, and you ought to know verse 18 with it. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that's to be revealed to us. That's verse 18. And it talks about the whole planet suffering and the manifestation of the sons of God and the Spirit groaning within us. All these things are about suffering. And then it says, and we know that for those who love God, all, including the suffering, all things work together for good, for those that are called according to His purpose. Verse 29 needs some explanation, but for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what's the good. In order that He might be the firstborn of many, many brothers. To form His image. Why does God let you suffer? Because suffering places you predestined, foreknowledge. Suffering places you in the plan of God. And He is using all things for your good and His glory to make you more like Jesus. Let me say that one again. Why does God let you suffer? Because suffering places you in the plan of God. As God is using all things for your good and His glory to make you more like Jesus. When it says everything works together for your good, what is that good? He defines it to be conformed to the image of Christ. So now we've covered 17 of these over these two videos. So now why does God let you suffer? Let's just quickly go through all 17 of these biblical reasons and God's good purposes for your suffering. Why does God let you suffer? To reveal His compassion. To mold your ministry. To prove your faith. To focus your hope. To loosen your grip. To reveal your heart. To teach you obedience. To build your character. Getting the picture now? To demonstrate your witness. To satisfy your soul. To keep you humble. To develop your dependence. To reveal His power. To display His deliverance. To involve other believers. You don't hide out. You enter in. To involve other believers. And you keep hiding out. Boy, I can just go on for that. To increase your intimacy with God. To increase your intimacy. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, to form His image. To make you more like Jesus. And you don't know all that God will allow in our lives. But we do know why He allows it in our lives. He is a good God and He proves it. He's proving it in the context of a fallen world through His redemption of sinners. May God bless you to know Him in and through suffering. Amen. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. And you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And you can find all kinds of things there and more information. You can email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. You'll find this clip and others, sermons. We plan on putting, I think we're going to cover 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6 and 7. In our Sunday sermon, we'll put that up on Sermon Audio. We have a YouTube page. You can find that from our Facebook page. Anyway, you can find the information. If you want PDF of this, like I said, if you want more depth, we can send you our whole study of 2 Corinthians as we go through it. In any event, grace and peace to you. God bless you.